Your speaker in this lesson is Harold Bigham.
We are delighted that you have chosen to invest your time in listening to this program. We invite you to search the Bible with us. The Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so, Acts 17:11. We need nothing else for our authority. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power have given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Our text today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and reading throughout verse 25. Paul would say, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Again, that is found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 through 25. What does Christ mean to you today? To the Jews of Christ's day, he was a stumbling block because of their preconceived ideas. John records, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1:11. Jesus came to his own things, that is, the creation, and his own people did not receive him. They rejected him as being the Messiah. The Greeks viewed Christ as foolishness. Is Christ foolishness to you today? Paul spoke of the preaching of the cross as being foolishness to some, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So what does Jesus Christ mean to you today? First of all, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Christ is the Savior of the world. He came to save you and I. Salvation is based on conditions. This implies that we are sinners and we need a Savior. We become guilty of sin when we violate God's law. We are in need of someone with the qualifications and the wherewithal to save us. God's mercy, God's grace, God's love provided the sacrificial lamb for you and I. Matthew 1:21 records, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. John 1:29 states, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the one who died for us. Jesus is the center of the cross. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. When we preach the gospel, Christ, we preach the person of the gospel. Do you regard the preaching of the gospel as something foolish, like the Greeks did in Paul's day? Do you today reject the person of the gospel, as the Jews did in the time of Christ? The power of the gospel is to be proclaimed. Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. The gospel pricked the heart of those on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. They asked the noble and great question, what must I do to be saved? They realized the sordid condition of their soul and wanted their soul to be cleansed from the stain of sin. Do you today reject the power of the gospel? But then the penalties of the gospel is also proclaimed. Paul persuaded men to obey the gospel. Involved in this persuasion is the preaching about the penalties of not obeying the gospel. Acts 17:30 states, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 states, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning of verse 7, Paul would write, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Do you today, my friend, deny that there are penalties or consequences of not obeying the gospel of Christ? But then the promises of the gospel is also to be preached as we preach Christ. The promise of everlasting life is proclaimed. Titus 1:2 states, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The promise of salvation from our sins is proclaimed. Acts 2 verse 38. The ultimate promise of heaven itself is proclaimed as we preach the gospel of Christ. So, my friend, what do you think about the Savior of the world? Will you accept him and obey his gospel, or will you reject him and be eternally lost? Secondly, is Jesus your King? If we obey his commands to become a member of his kingdom, Christ is our King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the only potentate. The Apostle Paul wrote, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. As king over his kingdom, Christ is the head of his church, and he has all authority. Ephesians 1:22 and 23. The kingdom of Christ is the body or the church of Christ. Matthew 16 and in verse 18 beginning, and I say also unto thee, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Paul stated in Colossians 1, beginning of verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So, my friend, what do you think about the King? And then finally today, Jesus will be our judge. In Hebrews 9, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ began as our Savior, but one day he will be our judge. Matthew 25:31 teaches, there will be a day when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory. In John 14, beginning of verse 1, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We will be judged by the word of God. John 12:48 teaches us that he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We should be glad and well satisfied that Jesus is our judge. His judgment is perfect and unbiased. Man's judgment is not perfect and is biased. So, my friend, what do you think about the judge of all mankind? So what does Christ mean to you today? God's plan reveals that after hearing the gospel being taught, that we are to have faith. Romans 10:17, Mark 16:15-16. This faith leads us to repent of our sins and to confess the good name of Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Luke 13:3-5, Romans 10:9-10. The final step of God's plan of salvation is scriptural baptism for the remission of sins. Scriptural baptism is immersion into the water. Romans 6:2. Paul would write, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. But like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As we obey the gospel, Christ will add us unto his church. Acts 2:42-47. As we are faithful, yes, even until we die for the Lord, that we can go to heaven in the after while. Revelation 2:10. Thank you so very much for studying with us today. May God bless you as you continue to read and study the Bible.